Okay, I'm back, and we have the recording started. And I have about 1 o'clock, so we're going to wait just another minute while we still have people coming on. We've got Clearwater, Florida, San Francisco, California, Atlanta. So a lot of folks still coming on board with us. So we'll just wait another minute, and we'll get started, Jack.
Okay.
For those of you that have been faithful and participating in every one of the Success Now teleseminars, I know that you have been incredibly blessed. We continue to get testimonies on a regular basis of the impact the Success Now series is making in many lives. And we had a great event this past Tuesday with Tom Costello, who heads up our coaching department and division with the Healing Codes. And we're excited to have our guest, Jack Zufelt, today. So let's go ahead and get started. And I do want to take a couple of minutes before I introduce Jack. Many of you that have been with the Healing Codes for any length of time, you know who I am, Ed Ernsting. I handle the marketing and the information technology side, backside, along with Tom Costello, on many of the things that we do. And I've been with the Healing Codes for about 6 years, and I'm excited to work with the Healing Codes and making a difference in people's lives. But my connection with Jack goes back about 8 years now. After I resigned as editor of a Christian newspaper in the Pacific Northwest, I was moving into technology and marketing consulting on the Internet. And I ended up working with Jack, and we initially had a kind of a consultant client relationship that over the years has developed into a wonderful friendship. And it's a delight of mine to call Jack a friend of mine. And his daughter Rebecca is finishing up her master's degree here in the Dallas, Texas area, and Jack and his wife Marcy will be flying out to visit them. And it is a wonderful relationship that I have with Jack. But more importantly, Jack taught me things that I need to know as a young man growing up and learning things in the business world. I didn't come from that environment. I came out of ministry. And Jack taught me more about business and personal development and personal growth than I ever had imagined I would learn. And for that, I will always be deeply indebted to Jack. But this afternoon, he's going to share with us the success attitude formula. And Jack is an incredibly successful businessman in his own right. He comes from a background of finance. He's invested many millions of dollars in different businesses, real estate, coal mines, airborne express franchises. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Merit by the President of the United States. He was honored by the United States Senate. He has an incredibly wonderful best-selling book, The DNA of Success, which hit the number one bestseller the first 3 weeks it was out, and now it's published in more than 15 different languages. And you've got to stay on this afternoon because toward the very, very end, Jack is going to offer a special opportunity for those of you to get some of his resources to continue to make an impact in his life. But Jack, why don't you come and you share about the success attitude formula, and if we apply it, what a difference it will make in our lives in being successful.
I'm happy to do it. It pleases me to work with you again, Ed, and do whatever I can do to help you and Healing Codes help more people. I love your title, especially your success now. I like the word now. Everybody wants success now. And what I get to do today is share with you guys what will help make that happen. And it's kind of interesting that I learned a long time ago that it's not the teacher that matters, it's the student. I have a black belt in karate, as you know, and I learned a long time ago that it doesn't matter how much I know and how good I am, that doesn't affect the student. If the student isn't driven to become what I am, it doesn't matter how good I am. I can teach correct principles, I can teach success principles, I can teach karate. But if the student is only half-hearted about it, or three-quarters hearted about it, it isn't going to work. And as I went through life in business and became a success expert, and as you know, I speak all around the world now on this subject, DNA of success, some of my audiences are in the thousands. And the reason they want it is they're still seeking out ways to become successful. So in this whole process of my personal success process where I went from no success in my life, none. I never went to college. I had no money. I had no self-esteem. I was a lost cause based on the standard things people think it takes to be successful. But that all changed when certain things happened in my life, and then I became extremely successful. And it wasn't like overnight. It took a while because I had to change old habits. I had to plant seeds. Seeds grew into trees, and trees bear fruit, and I became successful financially, etc. But it did work. And then I started getting asked, would you please come and tell us your secret to success? Why did you become successful? What did you do? And I didn't know. I wasn't prepared for that kind of thing. And that's what launched my speaking and training career around the world. I wrote an audio program or recorded an audio program, DVDs, and then I wrote a book. And I was so happy to see the book just take off because I'm teaching true principles, things that have not been taught before. As you know, Ed, I kind of stand out from the crowd when I say basic things about success that kind of rattle people's cages. Because what's been taught out there longer than you and I have been alive does not work for most people. And I found out what does. And part of that whole process was identifying what people who were successful in any arena, I don't care if it's being a mother or being a skydiver, a black belt in karate, or a wealthy business person. It doesn't matter. They all applied this formula. I identified it, quantified it, put it into a super simple way of explaining it, and now say to the world, if you will apply this formula, which you've already done, it's the very formula you learned or used to learn to ride a bike or drive a car or get a driver's license. That formula is not brand new. All I did was bring it into focus and bring back down to earth all the real things that it takes to be successful that everybody on this call and everybody whoever listens to me knows they've already done these things. So it's not like, gosh, I got to try something new. This is old and tried and true, and it's proven. All I'm doing is simplifying it. And the first part about it is the success attitude. Everybody's heard the phrase, as you know, Ed, that attitude determines your altitude. Well, that's a cute statement, but it's true. If you have a bad attitude, things aren't going to be as good as if you have a good or the right attitude. There's good, better, and best attitudes. There's attitudes that people have that are just wrong. An attitude that if I write it down on a piece of paper and call it a goal, that I'm going to get it. Well, 8 out of 10 things people write down on a piece of paper don't happen. So it doesn't matter what their attitude is. What I've learned is that everyone who succeeds at anything, and I mean anything, had a success attitude about that particular subject. So all I did was say, let's identify what was there for that success attitude and show people how to acquire that attitude instantly, as in now. I like the phrase success now. So you get the success attitude now, today, because I teach a truth and you embrace it. That moment on, you have a success attitude. So there's a formula that goes right with it, the success attitude formula, and I'm going to share that with this group today and make it vividly clear how simple success is. Now, it's not always easy to pull it off, meaning if you want to be a dentist or an MD, that's hard work. You've got lots of schooling to go to, a lot of homework. There's work involved. But the simplicity of it is that you identified it and you knew clearly what you wanted. You found a teacher, trainer, mentor, and he, she, they, books, courses, they taught you how to get it, and you went to work, and it didn't matter how expensive it was, how much money you had to borrow or spend, how risky it was, you just did it. So I'm going to go through the success attitude formula right now, but before I do, I'm going to give you an example of the kind of attitude that's not so good. I remember this dear lady come to me one time, and she was kind of timid, and she said she really wanted to take a certain job or career path, but she says, I'm concerned because I'm just not cut out for that kind of thing. My response to her was, well, Mary, when you were cut out, what were you cut out for? And she had to think a minute, because let me ask you guys who's listening. What were you cut out for? Well, here's the truth. You were cut out as a human being. And as a human being, you can become what any other human being in most cases has done. I'm never going to be a Bruce Lee, but I did learn a lot of karate. You can become whatever you want. That's what you were cut out for. And this lady says, oh, I'm just a housewife. And so her attitude, and many people have this attitude, well, I'm just a. And that just a attitude does not work. It's one of the limiting, if not outright wrong, paradigms. You're just a carpenter. You're just a salesman. You're just an insurance salesman. You're just a fill in the blanks of however you see that. I want you to just discard that. You are just a human being. That's what you are. You were cut out as a human being, born as a human being, and as a just a human being, you can become whatever you want. And I'm going to now teach you how come I know that's a fact. You can become anything you want. You want to be a plumber? You can. You want to be a plumber and a piano player? You can. You want to be a piano player and a plumber and a soccer player? You can. In other words, we have the ability to learn anything we want to learn. And so the attitude about success is crucial. And here's the definition of a success attitude. You need to acquire this attitude and just decide from this day forward, you're going to think like this, and it's going to be the truth. Embrace this truth, and it'll set you free. That's what my main mentor said. He said, if you know the truth, and I add embrace it, and embrace it, it'll set you free. So here's the truth about a success attitude. The definition that I came up with is that it's that frame of mind that allows you to achieve whatever you want because you know, now this is real important for you to get, because you know that you can create the opportunity and then make it happen. That's a success attitude. You know you can learn to play the piano if you wanted to. You may not know how you're going to pull it off when you say, I know I could learn math. I know I could learn to make money. I know I could whatever it is that you want to do or be. You know you could on one or two conditions. And the first one is that you want it badly enough. And the second one is you find somebody to teach you how to do it. But you know you can. So let me ask you a qualifying question to validate that point. Are you smart enough to learn what someone's willing to teach you? If you answer yes to that, and everybody does, and you should say yes to that, because you are smart enough to learn what anyone is willing to teach you. So the question is, what do you want to learn? It's not can you learn it, and it's not is there information out there to be taught to you by somebody who knows it. The question is only this, what do you want to learn? So that's the very first part of the success attitude formula. So I'm going to give you the formula now. Write this down. I'll say it slowly and carefully so you can write these letters down. I want you to make an SA, success attitude. SA equals, and put the equal sign, and then in parentheses put CD plus D, and put those in parentheses, CD plus D in parentheses, because that's how math formulas work. That's how all formulas look. So SA equals CD plus D times, put the time sign, PA plus P. So I'm going to say it again. SA equals CD plus D times PA plus P. When I get through with this call today, you will know exactly what those mean. You will know how to apply them. And you take that template and lay it on top of anything, and I mean anything on this planet that matters to you, and you will be a success at it. And enjoy your life far more because you're doing things or are in the process of doing things that you love with all your heart. So let's go to the formula and break it down. What does CD mean? SA, success attitude, equals CD. Well, what is CD? That is core desire. A core desire is something you want with all your heart. It's not just a whim. It's not a wish. It's not a dream. I hate the idea of dream building. Dream building is nice and it feels good for a while, but, you know, dreams, in fact, Bill Cosby said it this way. You know, when he was speaking at a commencement exercise, I think at Notre Dame, he said to the people graduating that year, he says, did you know that you can achieve all your dreams? You ever heard anybody teach that? Of course you have. But did anybody tell you that you have to wake up first? Because you see, dreams are in your head. They're not reality. I want you to be very clear on CD, core desires, desires that pierce you to the very core of your being. And I mean desires that are 100 on a scale of 1 to 100, they're hundreds. 50 on the scale is half-hearted. 3/4 on the scale, you'll get 75% of the way there. But the day you run into a barrier, an obstacle, a challenge, a risk, or an expense that is bigger than your desire, that obstacle and that barrier will stop you, just like a dam does water. If you have a core desire at 100 on the scale, that's all they are. Core desires are all hundreds. If you have a core desire that is 100 on the scale, you will still have barriers and obstacles in your life. That's a fact. Can't get rid of all those, but you will not be stopped by them. It's like a flood of water coming down a canyon, and there's a barrier there called a dam, and it'll stop the water until there's more water than dam, and it'll fill up and then go on over the top of the dam. It slowed it down, but it did not stop it. That's the power of a core desire. It's crucial. It is the foundational place you have to be coming from. Now, I told you early on that you've already applied some of this formula, in fact, all of this formula in your life. Let me give you an example. If you've been around a teenager, a 15 or 16-year-old kid who wants a car or wants a driver's license, you know, nothing stops them. They don't take courses on it. They don't read books about it. They don't listen to mentors. All they do is find out what I got to do to get a license, and then they study for tests and they go get a license. They don't write it down on a goal sheet. They don't read books about it. They don't listen to motivational speakers. What they do is identify clearly that I want a license and or a car, and they get one. All of my children have had a car in their teens by the time they were 16. In fact, two of them had their car before they could drive it, and I did not buy it for them. I didn't even put a dollar into a car for them because I was encouraging them to be independent and strong. One of my side philosophies is in children and parenting is that one of our roles as parents is to create children that are independent of us by the time they're 18. They can think on their own. They're confident. They're able to make things happen, and we didn't inhibit them or limit them because we did everything for them. But now back to the formula. Going back to core desires, it's crucial that you're clear on that. Let me give you a couple of quotes, maybe 3 or 4 quotes by other people that have said this long before I came along. Here's one by a famous philosopher named Eric Hoffer. He says, intense desire creates not only its own opportunities, but its own talents. So if you don't have the talent right now, it doesn't matter. You can get it. When you don't know karate, you can get the skill and the talent to do that. You don't know how to play the piano, you can get the talent and skill to do that if you have the desire to do what it takes. Intense desire creates not only its own opportunities, but its own talents. Now, remember the definition of the formula, or the right success attitude formula? The success attitude was that you know you can create the opportunity. Desire, core desires, will force you to find a way to create that opportunity. It's built into you to do it. Here's another quote by Robert Collier. When I say, by the way, built into you, that's because you're a human being, and it's built into us to want things and to desire things and then to figure them out, because we all have brains that can learn stuff and learn how to do or be or acquire things, whatever they are, attitudes, characteristics, and possessions and abilities. So here's another quote by Robert Collier. He said, the first principle of success is desire. Now, let me repeat that. The first principle of success is desire. And I say the same thing. I add core desire. But listen to the rest of the quote. He says, if you care enough for a result, you will most certainly get it. I repeat, if you care enough for a result, you'll most certainly get it. So it's crucial that you have clarity on the things that you're saying you want to do. They need to be hundreds, because if you want it badly enough, he says, and so do I, you will most certainly get it. And the rest of the formula will be automatic. You will figure out how to apply the rest of the formula I'm going to share with you today. Now, I'm going to give you a quote by a guy that everybody knows and loves. His name is Napoleon Hill. He makes it vividly clear with his analogy of desire. He says, the starting point of all achievement is desire. Weak desires bring weak results, just as a small amount of fire makes a small amount of heat. Pretty vivid imagination to help you understand. Small fire, small heat. Big fire, big heat. Small desire, small achievement, or no achievement. The rest of his quote is this: when your desires are strong enough, you will appear to possess superhuman powers to achieve. Oh my gosh. How is that possible? Superhuman powers to achieve. What does that look like? Well, I live in Colorado. I'm not far from Vail and Aspen, an hour and a half drive. You go up there, I promise you, every year you will see people skiing down pretty steep slopes, and they're blind. Or they have no legs. How is that possible? How about the guy who called me and said he wanted to buy my book, The DNA of Success, and we were talking, and I just happened to take the call, and he says to me that he was blind. I said, you're blind? How blind? He told me he can't see a thing. He said he got in a car accident when he was 22 and it did brain damage and it blinded him. And I said, well, my book's not in Braille, you know. How are you going to read it? And he says, oh, I have a machine that reads it to me. What? He said, you want to hear it? I didn't even know such a thing existed. He said, I'll get one of my hunting magazines and let it read to you. I said, what? Hunting magazines? You hunt? He said, oh, yeah, I hunt all the time. I said, I thought you said you were blind. He said, I'm totally blind. How do you hunt? First of all, what do you hunt? He said, deer. Deer? That's high-powered rifle. What do you hunt? How do you hunt when you're blind? This is what superhuman powers appear and look like. That's how, it's amazing, that's how people of all walks of life and all backgrounds overcome some of the most horrific things that have happened in their lives, physically or emotionally or even financially, and they seem to have superhuman powers. And people say to them, how is it you could do that? My gosh, I could never do that. Well, yes, you can when you want it badly enough. He loved to hunt. Until he was 22, he was an avid hunter. And because of that accident, he couldn't see anymore. But he didn't stop hunting. So I had him explain to me how he does that, and bottom line is he had somebody with him who would watch over his shoulder and say, there's a deer about 100 yards out or 50 yards out. Raise your rifle up a little bit to the left. Pull the trigger. Now, that is amazing. That's what core desires do. They drive us to make things happen. Core desires, first part of the formula, CD. It's crucial that it's 100 on the scale. If it's not 100, you'll get part of the way there. You might even spend a lot of money on it. You'll set New Year's resolutions. Everybody knows what those are. New Year's resolutions are made to be, everybody knows why I'll fill in that blank, they're made to be broken. That's because you're not resolute about them. They're a joke. If you're not resolute about them, don't plan to make them happen. But when you are resolute, you don't even need to write them down. You will make it happen somehow, some way, on the condition that you find somebody that shows you how to get it. Because if you don't know how to be a black belt, you will not be able to teach yourself how to do that. If you want to be successful in business, it would be really smart to find somebody who has been successful in the kind of business you want to start or want to run and copy what they did. By the way, that's why franchises have such high degree of success, 95% success. I've owned 14 franchises, and I know the stats. Here's the bottom line, because they have a system that proves that it works. And if you'll copy their system and they make you sign a really fat document, like an inch thick, that makes you promise that you'll be obedient to their system because they get an override on your success and they demand that you follow their proven track record because if you do, you'll be successful. That's what core desires do. They cause you to be willing to do the next D, CD plus D.
Hey, Jack. Oh,
yes?
Before you go to focus on the D, one of the things I think is important for you to address is that many people are probably listening and saying, hey, I get that, but to get them to move from where they are to where they need to be, they're going to have to cross through uncomfortable, unfamiliar, very scary territory. So explain the process of getting through that comfort zone out to what you call the discomfort zone.
Okay, good. Well, it's cool because almost always the things that we want that we don't have right now, whether it be success in business or more niceness and politeness and kindness and et cetera, doesn't matter what it is, almost always it's outside of our comfort zone because we're not good at it or we'd be doing it. And when people look outside of their comfort zone into what I call the discomfort zone that's out there that they need and they want, they got to go outdoors and maybe do some soliciting and sales and do contacting of people or whatever that they're not comfortable doing. The only reason they will do that is if what's in the discomfort zone is worth it to them. If they step out, and we all have done this, we've stepped out of our comfort zone and we go towards that thing that's out there that we say we wanted, and so it's got enough appeal that causes us to step out and go towards it, and we get out there and we're going, oh my gosh, what am I doing out here? This is scary. This is hard. I'm going to lose my shirt, or whatever the realities of that discomfort is. And we have a decision to make right there. And many of us make this decision to go back into our comfort zone because whatever was out there turned out to be not enough for us to stay out there. It wasn't worth it. So we go back to our comfort zone. That's not a right and a wrong thing. It's just, say this, it's not because you're stupid. It's not because you don't have the ability. It's because you didn't want it bad enough. Just say that. I guess I didn't want it bad enough. Stop beating yourself up because you didn't make it happen. But do say this. It's not because I'm stupid. It's not because I don't have what it takes. It's just I didn't want it bad enough. And in a truth, that is one of the things you didn't have enough of. You didn't have a desire to go out there. Now, here's the cool part. If you step out into the discomfort zone, going towards that thing that appeals to you out there and trying to make it happen, trying to obtain it, and you want it so bad, you're staying out there and you're working on it, it isn't long before your discomfort zone becomes your comfort zone. So if you were to draw a circle on a piece of paper about the size of a quarter and call it your comfort zone, CZ for comfort zone, and then draw another circle about an inch bigger, and that's the discomfort zone. When you step from your comfort zone, the first circle, into the discomfort zone, the larger circle, and you stay out there long enough, that becomes your comfort zone, and the center circle is now the bigger circle, and the center one goes away because your comfort zone is now that big. And we have done that in every area of our life. First day I went to school, I wasn't comfortable, but by the next 5 or 6 days, I was comfortable. First time I drove a car, I was really nervous and careful, and now everybody knows what it's like to drive a car. It's a piece of cake. Don't even think about any of it. You just get in and you do it. You get better and better, and your comfort zone expands and expands and expands. And the only cause caused by the fact that there's something out there in your discomfort zone that you want so badly, you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it, and you're going to stay out there for as long as it takes, which automatically makes it your comfort zone. Oh, I got to tell you one quote that I forgot to tell you. This is a quote that just blows me away about desire. This is the opposite of it. This is by a very famous guy named Rudyard Kipling. He's a Nobel Prize winning author, and everybody knows him because he wrote The Jungle Book and Gunga Din. He says this, and I quote, "If you do not get what you want, it is a sure sign that you did not seriously want it." And that's what I'm just now talking about. If you want it badly enough, that's the foundational place to be coming from. If you don't want it badly enough, I don't care how good the teacher is or the mentor is or how good the opportunity is, if you don't want it badly enough, you won't do what it takes. If it's too scary, you'll go back to your comfort zone. Even if it's scary and risky, if it is worth it, you'll stay out there and make it your comfort zone automatically. All right, so let's go on to the next D. This D, SA equals CD plus D. The second D is direction. You need to get really clear on how to get from point A to point B, where you are to where you want to be. And you might not know how to do that. And so you have to find somebody that's been to point B, and they can tell you how to get there. Let me give you an example. If you're in, I don't care, California, and you want to go to the Smithsonian Institute, this really great museum in Washington, D.C., having a core desire to go there and see all that's there and learn all about it does not get you there. Having the desire by itself won't get you to the Smithsonian Institute in D.C. And so you, let's assume you're going to drive instead of fly. So you got to get a map. You get directions. Now you get a map, and you're really clear on how you're going to get there and what it's going to take to get there and how much money you're going to spend on gas and how many nights you got to sleep over because it's a three-day drive, etc., because it's 3,000 miles. Now you have it all figured out. You got clear direction on how to get there. However, that doesn't get you to the Smithsonian Institute either. Being taught by a mentor, a professional that knows what he or she's doing, does not get you there. And I don't care how good he is or she is and how wise their information is and how simple it is, if you don't want to go to the Smithsonian Institute, or if you don't want to lose the weight, or if you don't want to make the money, you don't want to do the prospecting, you don't want to read the books, you don't want to do all of that, you're not going to get to the end result that you said you wanted. That's why 8 out of 10 things people write down on a goal list do not happen, because they weren't real for them. And then they find out what they got to do to get it, and they just drop it, and they back off of it. A good example of that is the professor at the University of Utah came to me while I was running a karate studio in Salt Lake City, and he said, "Jack, I have a desire to be a black belt, just like you. What's it going to take? Now, this guy was 45 years old. He was brilliant, and he was in good shape. He said, it's been a goal of mine for 15 years. Now, he's asking me for direction, so I give it to him. I say, well, typically it takes about 4.5 years of your life and about an hour of practice every day. His eyes got big, and his mouth dropped open. He was like in shock. And then he said this, I had no idea. I guess I don't want to be a black belt that bad. Well, then take it off your list. Now, I didn't say that to him, but think about it. If you have a thing on your goal list and you haven't even bothered for 15 years to find out what it takes to get it, seeking direction, it's not real. It's not 100 on the scale. It's barely even a 5 on the scale. It's not even 50. I just happened to be around him, and he just happened to be able to take advantage of that opportunity to ask a black belt what to take. Now, flip the coin over. A 14-year-old boy asked me the same question. Jack, what's it going to take to be a black belt? I want to be the black belt like you. And I told him 5.5 years of your life and about 2 hours of practice every day. I told him a year longer than I did the professor and an hour a day longer because this boy was crippled. He had a serious physical disability. When he was born with his feet turned out, left and right, pointing to the left and to the right, not forward like ours do. And he walked funny. He could not run. Children teased him. In fact, they called him Penguin because he walked like a penguin does. At the age of, I think he was 9 years old, they went in and cut and did a miraculous surgery. They cut both his femurs on both his legs at the same time, turned his feet forward, his legs forward, reattached all the muscles, and he was in a body cast for about 10 months. Now, in that time frame, his muscles atrophied, and he had to learn to walk all over again at age 10. So when he came to me, he was 14, and I started showing him the first move in karate, pick up your right leg and snap a kick forward to the groin. Just do a snap kick into the air. I was shocked because when he would lift either one of his feet off the ground 3 or 4 inches, the minute he lifted it off, he was now unable to balance, and he would start to fall over, and he would kick as he was falling to his hands and knees or onto his butt. This is the most uncoordinated person I have ever seen. And that's not black belt material. But 5 years later, he was a state champion. Now, why was Mark able to go and put in the time and effort, especially to overcome a challenge like that and become a state champion, when the professor, who had no challenges like that, he had everything going for him, didn't even want to start on it? The only thing he ever did was write it down on a piece of paper. What's the difference? Well, we're back to CD again, core desire. Now, let me tell you some basic things for direction. Here's where you get direction. Calls like this would be a good one. The things that Success Now is doing for, I hope, millions of people, teaching them correct principles and powerful things for success by experts. That's one source. Mentors. Mentors are awesome. I think they're the best source of knowledge and direction because they've been there. They've done it. A mentor, somebody's done it. Not somebody who hasn't done it, has a theory. I know a professor that taught business at a university, and he taught it for like 12 years. Then he leaves the university, takes a year sabbatical, and he goes and starts his own business. And he's going to make lots of money. Well, he ends up filing bankruptcy. He couldn't apply the principles that he thought he knew. And guess what? The university hired him back to teach business. What's wrong with this picture? That is not somebody I would want to have coaching, guiding me, mentoring me on how to do business. Because he couldn't make it work. So he's teaching philosophy and theory, but he hadn't done it. A mentor knows what he or she's doing. And throughout history, world leaders have all used mentors. Franklin Roosevelt had George Marshall, the King of England, had Winston Churchill. Julius Caesar had Mark Antony. I mean, people at the top are smart enough to use mentors. Shouldn't you? That's one source of direction. Another one is books. I have a best-selling book, DNA of Success. It's fantastic for figuring out your core desires and how to apply the success attitude formally in all areas of your life. So I know books work. I read a bunch, and I'm sure you have too. That's a major source of mentoring or direction on one condition, that you want what's in the book. There's a lot of people who've read books but didn't apply one thing in it, like Think and Grow Rich. They brag that 50 million copies of that book has been sold. I haven't sold 50 million of mine. It really, really is a bestseller. And yet I've talked to audiences all around the world and asked them if they've read that book, and fully half the people have raised their hands. and say, me, I read it, then I and raise your hand, and they say, I have done that, read that book, and I say, keep your hands up if you're rich. All hands go down. Well, what's wrong with this picture? They didn't follow the direction in that book. I know that book works because I know two women who became extremely wealthy because of that book, and one was Mary Kay of Mary Kay Cosmetics, who has endorsed me, and she says my material is phenomenal. And the other woman, you would not know, but she went from being a housewife eking out a living as a single mom, buying pop bottles in the late or early 70s to turn them in for 5 cents so she could buy milk for her babies. This woman was struggling, and she became the first woman in the million-dollar roundtable in both insurance and real estate in the state of Utah. She became very wealthy, and she said, that book's what did it. So I know the book has merit, and yet so many people read it and don't apply it because it wasn't a core desire. So direction from books works on the condition that what's in the book is what you want. And if it's not, it'll just be a dust collector on your shelf, and you'll gain some knowledge, but you won't apply it. By the way, speaking of knowledge, I want to dispel this myth. People say all the time, knowledge is power. It's not. Knowledge properly used is power. I have learned a lot of things I have not used. So I have the knowledge about it, but I don't use it. So knowledge is sitting there on the shelf. It's latent energy. It's not being used. But when you use it properly, knowledge then is power. Well, here's another one. Audio and video programs. They're all over the place. There's lots of them. I have one of the best-selling ones sold in over 120 countries now, called How to Use the Conquering Force Within You, and it's all about the kind of things we're talking about here today. Then how about personal development courses and seminars? Those are sources of direction. How about your minister, your pastor, your bishop? How about the guy who just is next-door neighbor and he knows how to mow a lawn and make his yard look really great and yours isn't so great? He could be your mentor. Anybody who's done it is worthy of listening to and following on the condition that they have what you want. Okay, so SA equals CD plus D, and now we go to the times. This is the only place you'll see the multiple sign, times PA. And I ask people all over the world, what's PA stand for? And everybody thinks it's positive attitude. It's not. Success attitude includes a positive attitude. It's not independent of, it's a part of a success attitude. But PA does not stand for positive attitude. It stands for proper action. Everybody knows you got to take action to be successful. Yeah, but not just any kind of action. I know people that take all kinds of action. They stir up a lot of dust, spin a lot of wheels, but they don't get anywhere. They don't go very far, or they go in circles. And they think they're doing things because they're busy. So they're taking action, but it's not proper action. It's kind of like this. The example of going to the Smithsonian Institute from, say, California, 3,000-mile drive. So you have a core desire to be there. You get the directions on how to get there. And you hop in your car and you take off. Well, that's all action. Is that going to get you there? Aha! But you didn't get your credit card. You are going to need to buy gas. And you don't have very much money in your pocket. You're going to run out of gas and you're in trouble. So proper action would include what? Fully preparing properly for a trip. And packing right, and packing enough clothing, and having enough money, and being prepared for contingencies, things like this. What if you have a flat tire? What are you going to do? What if your car breaks down? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get hungry? What are you going to do when you need to sleep and you're not quite at the hotel? I mean, there's all kinds of proper action to take in every area of life, from relationships to making money to even trips to the Smithsonian. You have got to know what you want. And be willing to apply what somebody teaches you to do, and then take the action that they told you to take, the proper action, which, by the way, seeking out wisdom from mentors is proper action. One guy told me this, Jack, but there's no, I told him, get in your boat and get going. He said, but there's no wind. I said, well, if there's no wind, then row. And he says, but I only have one oar. Well, if you row with one oar, guess what happens? You go in circles. That's action, and you'll work your fanny off rowing like crazy, but you will go in a circle unless you move that oar from left side to right side like they do in canoes. So get two oars. Oh, I got a better idea. Get a motor, unless you just want to be quiet. So proper action is crucial. Spinning your wheels, turning up, kicking up a lot of dust, but going in circles or not going very far, or certainly not going very fast, all action, but not proper action. So you're going down the road, heading towards the Smithsonian Institute, or going down the road in business, going down the road in your marriage, and you're trying to be happily married, and you run into a roadblock. You run into a detour, things that you didn't plan. Stuff happens in life, and you weren't ready for it. You didn't know that there was going to be a detour. It wasn't on the map. You didn't know there was construction or destruction because of some kind of a landslide or some kind of natural disaster, or you didn't know that your wife or your husband was going to irritate you like that, and your reaction is huge. You didn't know that he or she was an adult child of an alcoholic, and they have all kinds of issues, which I address big time in my book on how to deal with things like that. ACOA, there's four times as many of those as there are alcoholics, and they have all their own issues. And if you don't know about that, you're going to react differently than if you do know about it and know what to do to deal with it, proper action. And I'm speaking firsthand on that because my wife is an adult child of an alcoholic, and I experienced this with her. And for the first 13 years of our marriage, we did not know what to do. We did not understand what was causing all of the disagreements. Okay, heated arguments. All right, so the fights that we had. And we were able to, with the help of mentors, people that understood this kind of a situation and old tapes and old baggage, they taught us what we needed to know, and here's how you handle it, Jack. When she's on that mode and in that frame of mind, she doesn't know it, but you can now. And your job is to show her, and she shine a bright light on it, and if she wants to change, she can. Well, I testify to all of you that she overcame that. It took 3 years, but she overcame all negative influences of an alcoholic father and all the things that can happen to people who have alcoholic parents. She overcame it all, and it was because we were taught by people who know about that and educated us. We went from ignorant to really knowledgeable, and then we applied what they told us to do, and we took proper action, and that went away, and it stayed away. We've been married 36 years, and we're happily married more now than we were then. And though we loved each other completely then, we still had issues back then, but we don't have those anymore. Success attitude formula works for everybody, including on things like that. And here's the bottom line. I don't care what's happened to you in your past. I don't care what failings you've had. I care. I wish you didn't have those failings or have struggles. I don't like the things that have happened to some people as they were children. I care about that. But the bottom line is that's history. And it cannot control your present unless you let it. And my wife, ACOA, adult child of an alcoholic, was, without knowing it, letting it control how she would be and act and react with me. And I, not knowing, coming from a position of no self-esteem when I was a young boy, I would fight at the drop of a hat. So I was ready to fight, and that doesn't work very well in a marriage either. So we had to learn how to make that go away. And it was work. It took a lot of work and biting of tongues and changing personalities and characteristics. It was hard, but it was worth it. We were way outside our comfort zone, but it was worth it. I remember when I was speaking of comfort zones and learning from somebody and taking proper action, this mentor who taught me about business, because I was really broke and I had two little children. My wife never worked outside the home, even though when I married her, she had a degree and was working for IBM as a systems engineer. She was smart, really smart, and making three times more money than I was when we got married. The day she had our first child, she quit working outside the home, and it was all on me. I totally supported that, and I totally agree with that. It's a good choice. And now it's on me. Well, I wasn't doing so good. So in my church, there was a guy who was really rich, and he was 60, 61 years old. Hey, that's how old I am now. So he's old enough to be my dad. And I went to him and asked him if he would teach me to be like him. I said, you have everything I want. You're exactly the kind of lifestyle and kind of man that I want to be. I just don't want to be your age when I get there. Would you show me how to get what you have? And he agreed to. So I sought out a mentor. That was proper action. And then he told me what to do. And some of the things he told me to do was really, really foreign to me and outside my comfort zone. So far outside of it, I had to go look up some of the terminology that he used. I had to look it up in the dictionary. And that was ignorance. And I overcame ignorance. I overcame low self-esteem, no self-esteem. I overcame characteristics that would hold anybody back because I wanted a lifestyle like him. And I got it. And because of him, I raised and invested $23 million into all kinds of businesses, all because of that man teaching me how to do something I really, really, really wanted, and that was to be financially independent and rich and free. And he taught me how to do it. And boy, was I an avid student. Now, when you meet an avid student meets up with a really good teacher, oh, watch out what that student will do. And I've heard in karate that the definition of a good teacher is when the student passes the teacher. Well, I passed that guy. I am so impressed with what he did for me. And I went on to become an international influence and et cetera, and all because of two things. One, I wanted it with all my heart, and I applied this formula that I'm telling you about. And all my heart, core desires, first part of the formula. Now, here's a phrase that's going to help you. Well, I'm not going to tell you that phrase yet. I'm going to go to the next piece of the formula, the last part. So we got SA equals CD plus D times PA. Proper action, and I say times because you got to multiply it. You got to do it over and over and over. Proper action. In karate, they got to kick the same kick 1,000 times each leg in 1 week if they want to be good at it, and they can do it very quickly. If they do 1,000 kicks in a day, they will just accelerate everything. And so proper action works, and you got to keep doing it times a lot. Not once, not twice, as long as it takes. People ask me all the time, well, how much time should I put in my business, my home-based business? How much time should I this? How much money should I spend? And my answer, they don't like. I always say it this way, well, you spend as much time or as much money as it takes to get what you want. Period. Training over. So there is no flat, hey, put in 2 hours a day or 2 hours a week or $2,000 or $20,000 and you will get this. That's not the truth. Because it sometimes takes much more than that. Proper action isn't one time. It can be, but it takes more. My marriage, 36 years of it, is a continual proper action effort. And repenting when I screw up, which is, by the way, proper action as well, saying I'm sorry, and doing whatever I can to make up for it. That, too, is proper action. And when you stumble and fall because you went down the wrong path, you didn't listen to your mentors, or you made a choice that you didn't know was wrong because the information, you couldn't see the future and the information seemed right, but you still made a wrong choice and you got hurt, you got beat up, you lost money, you lost your shirt. You beat yourself up for, don't beat yourself up. What you say is, I guess I made a mistake. Ouch. And then you get up and go again. In karate, I entered many tournaments. I didn't win them all, but I won enough to give me what I wanted. I wanted the reputation that I was one tough guy, and I wanted that. I remember fighting in a karate tournament. Proper action, I have a broken wrist. I blocked a kick one time, and it broke my wrist. I have a soft cast on. It wasn't fractured all the way through. It was just a hairline fracture, but it hurt really bad. And I told my sensei that I wanted to enter the tournament, but I held up my left hand, and I said, look, I'm in a cast. What am I going to do? And he said, well, how bad do you want to fight? I said, really bad. He said, well, then enter. You have three other weapons, your two legs and your other hands. Enter. So I did, and I entered with a broken wrist. You don't do that. That's not typical. Average guys don't do that. We sit out if we got a broken arm. Not me. I wanted to fight in that tournament because I had people in the audience I wanted to try to impress, and I entered a tournament, and I lost. At least I lost the tournament. But I got exactly what I wanted deep down. My core desire was to be looked up to as a tough, never going to quit fighter. And that's what I got. Didn't win the tournament, though. Onward and upward. So the last P in the formula stands for persistence. Persistence is key. I've alluded to it with proper action because it's times PA. Well, you got to persist with the proper action until you get what you want. Persistence is a byproduct of a core desire. If you want something badly enough, you will persist until you get it. The only time you'll quit is if you give up because you feel so stymied, you haven't found the right teacher, trainer, mentor, or you don't have what it takes at that moment, so you give up. At that point, I will tell you that it's not a core desire because when it's a core desire, you don't give up. I'll give you an example. There's a guy I know who is, when he was a young man, he's in his teens, he loved baseball, but he was a young boy. He could not do very well. He was so small, even though he was the same age as the other boys, he was so small, he couldn't throw a baseball from one base to the other. and they would tease him, and they'd laugh at him, and he couldn't hit the ball very hard because he was so small, and if he did hit it, he was run as fast as he could, but they could always put him out. This guy didn't have a chance in baseball, but he wanted to play baseball, core desire. And so he persisted, and he persisted. He would go out to his barn at night and after school, and he would throw the baseball against that barn hard, and it would bounce back to him. He would do it not for 1 hour, but for several hours a night, driven by a core desire to play ball. Jump ahead one short time frame. It's like 6 months. He ended up being on the team that won the state championship, and part of it was because of what he was able to do. He didn't give up. He persisted. In fact, he said this quote, and I love this quote. He said, "That which we persist in doing becomes easier to do. Not that the nature of the thing has changed, but our ability to do has increased." Our ability to do, ladies and gentlemen, will increase on two conditions. One, we find a good teacher, trainer, mentor, and we practice properly, and we're driven to do it, which creates persistence, automatically creates persistence. Persistence is a byproduct, as is discipline, as is enthusiasm. If you want to have more discipline, people say all the time, "Oh, I wish I had more discipline." Well, where do you get more discipline if you don't have it? Where do you get persistence if you don't have it? People talk to me about their one of their biggest complaints is the concern about being a couch potato or being a person who puts things off, a procrastinator. They know they should exercise. They know they should read this book. They know they should do this. But they put it off. Well, ladies and gentlemen, procrastination is what happens when you don't want to do something. When you do want to do it, when you do want to do it, Mark, there's somebody that just came on the line. Can you hear that? I mean, Ed?
There we go. Just got it squared away.
Okay, good. When you do want something badly enough, you don't stop until you get it, period. And the only thing that will drive you to do that is back to core desires. Let's see. Oh, procrastination. You put it off because you don't want to do it. Well, where does discipline come from? Discipline is needed in anything. I don't care if it's weight loss or relationships or making money. You got to be able to discipline yourself to take the proper action for as long as it takes to get what you want. You want a close, loving relationship. You want to be a great parent. You want to be in shape. It takes discipline to do all of that. Well, where do you get it? Because you can't go buy it. Well, here's a cool, cool thing. Discipline comes from the root word disciple. And a disciple is someone who willingly follows someone. I don't care if it's Gandhi or Jesus Christ or a health regimen. Willing is the operative word. And willing is a core desire. If you're not willing, it's not a core desire. If it's a core desire, you are automatically a disciple of whatever it takes. And when you're a disciple of something, the discipline is automatic. So if you don't have the discipline to do whatever it is that needs to be done, take a close look at how, on a scale from 1 to 100, how high on that scale is it? Is it 100? Because if it is 100, the discipline will be there. All you need to do is find out from somebody, a mentor, how to do it, proper action. And then the discipline will be there automatically, even when it's hard. And you'll hang in there no matter what, like learning how to ski down a steep slope when you're blind. Or those people you and I see all the time in the papers. I just saw another one today of a little girl who probably was 6 years old running in a dress, running next to a guy who is also in a track suit, and he's probably 25 years old, and he's leaning over and encouraging her to do the two things that they both are trying to do, and that is run on the track, and neither one of them have any legs. They have those prostheses that look like a bent piece of metal for feet and shoes, and he's encouraging her to run. Why is it that people can do that? And I know a woman who has that problem, and she became a world champion. I know a woman who can play champion the best drum solos that exist in the world. She's played with the greatest symphonies on the planet. You name the symphony, she played with them and for them on a trap set and a whole series of drums. And guess what? She's totally deaf. She cannot hear any of the music, and yet she is so good at it. That is the power that Napoleon Hill says that you will appear to have superhuman powers if you want something bad enough. Starting point of all achievement is desire. That's why CD, core desire, is the first part of this formula. Now we're at persistence. Persistence, really important. Now there's another story I really like. a really famous guy that you probably will recognize his name as soon as I say it, and if you don't, you're not a football fan. Here's a story about a guy named Steve Young and persistence. I write about him in my book. He was willing to let me tell his story, kind of brief, but it's still a cool story. He says, and I quote, "I was not a candidate to be a quarterback in the NFL. What? You weren't a candidate to be what you are? Now, he's telling us this after he has achieved the highest level of success that you can reach in the NFL. He says, and I quote, "For starters, I harbored a lot of self-doubt for years." Does that sound like you? If you have self-doubt, welcome to the human race. But what did he do that you need to do as part of the formula? First thing is he wanted to play football, and he wanted to be a quarterback, and he wasn't going to give up until he got it, and he persisted, and he persisted. And he said, "I have heard the little story about the little train that could. Well, my train was the one that couldn't." He says, "I can't do it, I can't do it." That's what I would say over and over. Instead of, "I think I can, I think I can," he would say to himself, "I think I can't, I think I can't." He did not have the little train that thought it could. This is a guy who's achieved the highest level in his sport field in football that you can achieve. But he sounds like he was not really a candidate for that to start with. And in his own words, he wasn't. And then I'm going to quote another thing. He said, "I decided to give myself a new message. I think I can. I think I can. I overcame my doubts." Somehow, he says, you get things done that you never thought you could do, and just move forward and hold on and persist. He said the hardest part was waiting behind Joe Montana. You guys, this is the epitome of this formula, the success attitude formula in action. And here's a person who is a high level of success, achieved a high level of success, and he's telling you what he did. His core desire was to be a big shot in football, and he did it. Even when he was standing behind and waiting for Joe Montana to do his thing, because Joe was ahead of him. He said, "When I finally got my chance, everybody was watching. The scrutiny was intense." And he said, "I faced incredible odds, but I was drawn to the challenge. I wanted it with all my heart. I kept saying, I'm sticking to this one. I'm going to make this happen. I want to see where it goes." And he says, "And one day I woke up as MVP of the league." No, not one day. That's the end result of having a core desire, getting clear direction on what he had to do in sports. He had to work out. He had to do the things it took to be good at what he was doing. And he took proper action steadily, times proper action, over and over and over and over and over and over again, and he persisted, even though he had all those other things, obstacles and barriers in the way. He's a perfect example of how you will not be stopped by adversity. And in fact, adversity makes you stronger. I got a question for you. If you're flying a kite, and it's up in the air 50 yards or 100 yards in the air, what keeps that kite in the air? Almost everybody says wind. And the truth is, it's not wind. It's the string. It's the string that keeps that kite up. And if you cut that string, the kite will tumble to the ground. So adversity, though, may seem like it's a negative thing. When you persist and you persist, the adversity, just like Joe Montana was talking about, will drive you to heights. And the reason that will happen is because you wanted to fly high. It was a core desire, and you persisted. So, ladies and gentlemen, core desires are the foundation. That's the DNA of all success. And when you have a teacher, trainer, mentor show up, or you find them who can give you the proper direction, and then you follow what they tell you to do because you are so desirous of having that end result, whether it be making money or a really great relationship with your children or your wife, your husband, when you are driven from within like that, you will persist until you get it. And when you fall down, you'll get up and go again. And when you fall down again, you will get up and go again. Just like the man I watched as my company financed or was an investor in, a sponsor of the Ironman race in Hawaii for 5 years in a row. And so I'd go to all those races, and I watched three or four of the athletes we sponsored. And one of them was the oldest athlete to ever enter that race, and he was 71, I think 71 or 72 years old. No one that age had ever even entered. In order to get in that Ironman race, you have to have finished other Ironman races. You have to qualify, and he did, and he was in the race. And by the way, just so you know, he didn't start running until he was 64 years old. Now he's 71 and he's running the Ironman race. That's what a core desire does for you. And he persisted. Well, he gets in the race and everybody's really excited about this race. And you're watching all these young bucks just running like crazy. And the champion, I think the number one guy that won the race, I think he did it in like under 5 hours. I don't know the exact time. Everybody always wins it in less than 5 hours, whoever the winning race is. And you have to finish it by midnight that day. So you've got so many hours to finish it or you're disqualified. Well, guess where this 71-year-old guy is? He's the last guy, and he's got 30 minutes to go, and he's 2 miles away from the end. And he's dragging. He's not running. He's barely lifting one foot above the other. And he has more cameras on him than all of the other racers combined. Everybody is watching this guy and encouraging him. And the crowds were going wild and screaming and yelling encouragements to him. You can do it. Don't get going. Turn left a little bit. His eyes would close. You think he's going to pass out. Sometimes he would actually stagger. We didn't know if he's going to make it. He's got something like 50 feet to go, and he's got maybe 3 minutes, and he's got 50 minutes to cover that. 3 minutes to cover that 50 feet. And he persisted, and he persisted. And he crossed that line and then collapsed. They took him away in an ambulance, and he's okay. He turned out okay, but he made it just under the wire. Why? Well, it was a core desire to run the race and not only run it, but to finish it. He didn't care if he won it. He wanted to finish it. Second thing is he learned how to do that, and he got from the best of the best how to get that body of his into shape. And then he persisted. I mean, he took proper action over and over and over and over again. That means you run a lot of miles and you exercise, et cetera, et cetera. And he persisted until he got his core desire, which was to be the oldest man to ever finish the Ironman race in Hawaii. And he did that. This formula never fails. I promise all of you that if you will apply this formula, you will achieve at any level of that matters to you in any area of life. You can be highly successful in anything that matters to you. Apply this formula, and you will be a highly successful person. Ed, you said you wanted to take some time now, maybe open it up to question answers. Oh, you also said I could tell people how to get my book.
Yes, go ahead.
Is that okay to do that now?
You bet. Go ahead, and then we'll take some questions and answers. Right before you do that, Jack, let me tell everybody that if you're still on and you want to be involved in the Q&A for Jack, then I want you to press *2 on your phone, and it will let me know. And then when we go to the Q&A, then I'll let you know that we're getting ready to ask your question. And if you're online, then you'll see where you can actually – go in there and ask your question, and that way we'll do that. But, Jack, you go ahead right now and explain how they can get that information from you.
Well, I put together a special package, Ed, because of your relationship with me and for this group and this group only. I sell my audio program for $129 around the world. If you guys want to call my office or go to dnadollars.com, call my office and tie it into this call. Say it's a Success Now call. And I will give you that audio program for $59 instead of $129. That's the first time I've sold that at that price ever. And so $59 instead of $129, there's 10 CDs in it. Also, I have a major package, $660 worth of material that would include my audio programs, my 2 books, and a year subscription by newsletter, etc. Worth $660, all of this. I will sell all of that for $129 to this group. As long as I know you're a Success Now listener, I will give you that $129 price, plus shipping and handling, of course. Wherever you are in the world, I'll ship it to you. And so those are pretty good discounts. Go to dnadollars.com or my phone number, which is 303-741-9025, 303-741-9025. It's a pleasure to work with you, and thank you for giving me a chance to share my perspective on this with as tens of thousands of people who are going to hear this. I'm sure,
well,
maybe millions.
Thank you very much, Jack. Again, press *2 if you've got a question to ask of Jack. Now, while we're waiting, I've got one question that's been submitted, and her question is, it's from Bend, Oregon, and she says, how do you get to wanting it bad enough? I've allowed disappointments, failures, discouragements to be bigger than a core desire. Apathy is big. I'm not wanting anything bad enough right now. The good news is I have begun the success codes, But how explain to her about how she gets to the point of wanting it bad enough, Jack?
I think that's a brilliant question because I get asked that more than any other thing, believe it or not. How do I get my core desire? I know what I want. Well, here, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get that clearly done. You raise your eyes from the problems and the path at your feet, the stumbling blocks. You raise your sights up to where you want to go. You want to go to the top of the mountain. You keep your eyes on the top of the mountain. Keep your eye on the ball, so to speak. Keep your eye on that core desire. Whatever it is you want with all your heart, keep your eye on that, not on the problems. Sometimes the problems get your attention because they hurt, they're expensive, there's a loss, you get punched in the nose. It gets your attention for a while. But consciously decide to reorient your sight back up to and on that core desire. And remember, it's rewards for you. Get really clear emotionally on why you're going to do it. For example, I was in Paris. I hate heights, and I took my wife there for our 25th anniversary, and she wanted to go up to that really high top high thing called the Eiffel Tower. I am so scared of heights, I become immobilized. And she knew that. She said, I'll just go up by myself, take pictures, and come back down. And I said, no, we're not coming to the City of Love, and you're going to go anywhere by yourself. I will go up. And so I go buy two tickets to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and I'm terrified. That elevator going up is not a smooth ride, and it's glass enclosed, and it's high, and I am so scared. I literally have my face in the corner of that elevator. I'm not looking out. And when we stepped out into the Eiffel Tower at the top, I'm going, oh, I'm so scared. My wife's having a ball, and I'm just shaking. Now, why would I do that? Because I kept my eye on what I really wanted. My wife is not going to experience the Eiffel Tower without me. We are going to have wonderful, love-filled experience in Paris, and I'm not going to ever go home and say, I should have, I wished I had. I kept my eye on her and what I wanted with her to prove to her that she mattered to me more than my fear and to be able to be with her no matter what she wanted to do, even if it was hard and scary. So that's the answer. Keep your eye on the ball on why you want that thing and the benefits to you, and that'll make it worth it. Another good example is a man said, I got 60 pounds overweight, and I was told by his borderline diabetic. My doctor said I had to lose 60 pounds or I would be, and he scared me with all the things I was going to pay a price for with diabetes, including amputation. He said, so I went on a severe diet. First time I've ever done that, and I lost 60 pounds, and he lost it in like 65 days. He went on a starvation diet, and the doctor gave him a clean bill of health and said, you're in the safe zone once again. Now, when he's talking to me, he had gained that 60 pounds back, and he wondered why. He said, I know better. I'm a smart man. He was an engineer, PhD in engineering. He said, I know I should be exercising. I know I shouldn't have gained it back. Why do I let that happen? I said, you took your eye off the ball. Go back and see your doctor. And let him give you a couple more death threats, fear of amputation, because that was enough to cause you to take all the action needed. He said, you got that right. So we went back to his doctor a second time, and the doctor scared him again really bad. So his core desire was not to have all the diabetes issues, not to have amputation. And he went on a diet again, lost it again. And this time he said, I don't need a doctor. I'll just keep my eye on the ball. So that's the answer for you.
Well, Jack, we've got a couple of questions already in the queue. So before we go to those, though, again, let me give the website. It is DNA, like dog Nancy Apple, DNA dollars, DOLLARS.com. And when you go there, you'll find a form, fill out the information, and then make sure that you put the fact that this is from the Success Now program so Jack can identify that. And then he can follow up with you at that point, okay? Well, let's take the first question, and it's from Escondido, California, and the last four digits of your phone number are 8888. And again, if you're from Escondido, California, I don't have your name, but the last four digits are 8888. You've been unmuted, so ask your question of Jack.
Oh, okay. Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, I'm really not from Escondido. I'm calling, saving some money, calling through Gmail. So I really am in Salem, Oregon. But anyway, when you first began, you referenced a frame of mind that allows you to achieve, and then I didn't get the rest. Could you repeat that first?
Yes, ma'am. It's a frame of mind. Are you
Go
ready?
Ahead, Jack.
Yes, I'm there.
That frame of mind which allows you to achieve whatever you want because you know that you can create the opportunity and then make it happen. It's that frame of mind that allows you to achieve whatever you want because you know that you can create the opportunity and then make it happen.
Okay.
You got it?
I should have taken shorthand.
That's okay.
Hey, there's one of those proper action things. Take a shorthand course.
No, I never took shorthand either. I just write fast and then I do what you did. Please say it again.
Frame of mind that allows you to achieve whatever you want because you know you can create the opportunity.
The opportunity and then make it happen.
And then make it happen.
Let me explain that again a little bit. You know you can because you're smart enough to learn whatever you want to learn, and because it's something that matters to you, you just know that you can make it happen if somebody will just show you how. That's what the success attitude is. Somebody show me how to bake a cake. Somebody show me how to be a black belt. Somebody show me how to be a better mom, a better whatever it is that you want. You know you can apply it if somebody will teach it to you. I don't care if you get it out of a book or from a teacher like me. Good question.
Okay. We are going to go to another question. And the last four digits of your phone number are 3533. Again, the last four digits of your phone number are 3533. You've been unmuted. Ask Jack your question, please.
Hi, Jack. This is Laura. I'm calling from Mexico.
Buenas tardes, señoría.
Buenas tardes. ¿Habla español?
Piquito. Speak English, please.
Okay, thank you. Well, nice to meet you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. What's your question?
My question is, my business is in, I'm a distributor in Nuskin. And I'm sure that I can do it and I can create the opportunity. I'm sure of that. I don't have doubts. But in this moment, my situation is I don't attract, or maybe I'm not the leader I want or I need to be to attract leaders for my company. The point is, I get people like customers, like clients, but I don't attract the leaders I need to become or to have the level I want to achieve.
What's your question?
The question is, what is the proper action I have to take to become or to attract leaders that can create my network?
Cool. Did you know that I happen to be one of the highest paid trainers in the world in network marketing, and Nu Skin has sent me all over Asia to train their distributors because of that very concern right there? I can help distributors go from $200 or $300 a month to several thousand a month in 3 or 4 months on the condition that they have the right mindset and attitude between their ears. And here's one you asked about. First of all, proper action. Here's direction first. Stop using the word attract. You don't. If you go hunting for bear or hunting for deer or rabbits, you don't sit there attracting them. You go hunting. If you're fishing, you don't just sit on the side of the bank trying to attract fish. You put lures out there to try to get the fish to bite the lure, and then you can bring it in. So go see yourself as Laura the Huntress instead of the Laura the Attractor, the Huntress. You're going to go hunting for people who want to make money this way, not just use the products, which are phenomenal, good products, but who want to make money this way.
Yes. Is there any well, tell me the action. I have to recognize them, because sometimes I say this is going to be great. He got everything he needs to do it, but then they don't desire it enough, badly enough, so they drop the business.
If somebody doesn't desire something enough, Laura, I don't care how good you are, you aren't going to get them to take action. I can't either. Even Jesus Christ, my main mentor, couldn't get everybody to follow him, and he was about as good as you get. So you aren't going to get somebody who doesn't have a desire to follow any advice of yours or jump on board with you.
Okay. We've got Catherine and Jim are both asking similar questions. And it's that they love so many things and they're so good at a lot of things that they go from one to another, and they've done it their whole life. They're having trouble with what they're really passionate about, that core desire. How help them understand how to pinpoint and give them some guidance about choosing their core desire.
I love that question. Catherine and Jim, that is the most important question anybody can ask, and so I'm going to address that. I did not cover it in the formula. I was assuming everybody can know what their core desires are, and I know for a fact that 97% of the people out there cannot accurately identify them. So here is how you do that. There are two questions you ask yourself. The first one is, what would I like to have that I'm not getting in my life, in my family, in my finances, in my fill in the blanks? What would I like to have that I'm not getting in, and fill in the, what arena or area of life you're talking about? And you're going to say something, more money, more time, more love, more sex, more whatever. Whatever it is, you're going to put that there. I don't care what it is. That first question, and almost always, is going to be answered wrong. But put it. Write it down so that you don't forget it, or have somebody you're talking to have them hear the answer and pay attention to how you feel about that answer. Or let that person you're saying that to, if it's your wife or your friend, your husband, let them tell you that's not very emotional. It's like, hey, you want to go to a movie tonight? Judge this reaction. Oh, I don't know. See, that's not very high on a, I want to go to a movie tonight. Hey, you want to go bowling? Oh, yeah, I love bowling. When is it? Now, that's a totally different reaction. So pay attention to your emotional reaction to that first answer. Now, the second question is crucial. I call it the drill question. It's the question you use to drill down to the core. And you have to ask it over and over and over again until you get to the core. The drill question is this. If I had that, whatever the answer is you gave yourself, if I had that, what would that give me that I don't have? And you're going to have an answer for that. And then when that answer comes up, if the emotion still isn't 100, you'll know it. And so you ask your question again. And if I had that, what would it give me? And if I had that, what would it give me? And you keep asking that question on every answer that you give yourself until you get to the core. And it'll look something like this. This is a true story. I demonstrate this on stage. If you get my package, guys, you'll get a video that shows you how I do this on stage, and you'll be able to apply it to yourself. It's one of the package, one of the videos in that $129 package. Here's an example. I ask a woman on stage in front of 500 people, what would you like to have that you're not getting in any area of life? And she instantly answered, financial independence. The audience and I measured that on a scale from 1 to 100, and we said, that's not 100. And she said, how the heck do you know? You don't know me. Of course it is. So her head is talking. Who wouldn't want financial independence? You don't know me. So I asked the drill question, if you had financial independence, what would that give you that you don't have? Oh, travel. I love to travel. Another instant answer. We, the audience and I, listening to and responding to her emotional or lack of emotional response about that, said, well, that's pretty good. You know, you do like it, but it's not 100. And she said, you're wrong. I love to travel. I love to see things out there. I just love it. And I said, well, here's the drill question. If you could travel, what would that give you that you're not getting now, right now? This time she didn't answer quickly. She looked down at the floor. I'm sorry, she looked up at the ceiling, kind of thinking. I've learned that when people look at the ceiling, they're looking for answers in their head. And they look down at the floor, they're looking in for answers in their heart. So she's looking up at the ceiling. And about 10 seconds later, she answered quietly into the microphone the word peace. And I turned to the audience. I said, measure that. And we all said, wow, that's vastly more emotionally charged than the first two answers. And yet it still wasn't 100. So I asked the question, if you had peace, what would you have that you don't now and you want with all your heart? This time she looked at the floor. And when 10 more seconds go by in silence as she's paying attention to her thoughts and feelings about the answer, when she looked up, you guys, she was crying, tears running down her cheeks. And she said, I'd be getting along with my husband. That was 100. So What if I was a salesman? What if I wasn't paying attention to her and I just sold her the first thing come out of her mouth, a way to make money? She would buy it and it would sit on the shelf and she wouldn't make the money. Now let me connect some dots for you. She wanted more money, financial independence, so she could travel, which would give her peace because she would be able to get away from the problem. She didn't know she was thinking like that, but I did. I've been around this business a long time. I know how to evaluate people, which is what I do on the videos. You need to get the video to see this in action. Anyway, jump ahead 6 months. I told her how to create that situation with her husband. I'd be getting along with my husband. She said, he'll just get mad. We'll just fight some more because they'd been married 15 years and they weren't happily married anymore. I told her what to do and to say. She went home and did it. 6 months later, the response and report, actually it was 6 days later, and then 6 months later I got another report, but she said it's a miracle. He didn't get mad. We aren't fighting anymore. We're happy. I didn't know my, and my husband just held me all night, and he actually cried too. She mentioned that it was a miracle. My main mentor said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. Well, I helped her find out the truth about what she really wanted, so we focused on that. And when I gave her the truth, direction on how to make a relationship happen, he wasn't a drug addict, he wasn't an alcoholic, nor was he physically or emotionally abusive. They just did not get along, impatient with each other, etc. And when I told her what to do, she changed everything. 6 months later, I asked her, so how are you doing? She says, I've never been this happy. I didn't know you could be this happy. I said, what about financial independence? Are you going for that? She says, we have enough. How about travel? I don't want to go anywhere without my husband. I said, what about peace? She says, I have peace. Thank you, Jack, for teaching me how to go to my heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to your heart with your drill question. Go down and pay attention to Catherine and Jim. Pay attention to your emotional response. Now, here's the most ideal way to live. When you get to the core desires of all areas of your life, I've identified six: family, financial, social, financial, physical, and spiritual. There are six major areas of life, and you have core desires and maybe even many core desires in all of them. Here's the best kind of life to live. Where you are focusing on your core desires in all of those areas at the same time. You're either getting them or in the process of getting them and enjoying the process of trying to make it happen, even if it's hard, even if it's expensive, even if it's just... So you're working on it and you're enjoying your life. That's the ultimate life to live until you die. Focusing on your core desires in every area of life. If you called me right now and say, hey, you want to go to play basketball tonight? I'd judge that instantly on a scale from 1 to 100. That's a 2. I don't do 2s. I don't even do 50s. I don't do 80s. If somebody said to me, you want to go bowling tonight? I do like bowling, but I've got a date with my wife tonight. And so I'd say, no, I love bowling. That's an 80. I'm not, and I don't do 80s. I only do 100s, and 100 is to be with my wife tonight, not bowling. And the next night... How about tomorrow night, though? That's 100 for tomorrow night. I'll be bowling with you if you ask me tomorrow night, but not tonight. So you get real clear on how to identify the hundreds in your life, and that's what you focus on every day, all day, 24/7.
Well, let's go to, we've got another question. It's going to be Susan, and Susan, the last four digits of your phone call, of your phone, is 0207. So, Susan, you have been unmuted, so ask your question of Jack.
Hi, Jack. My question was very similar to the last one that was asked, so I was thinking about, is there another question I have? And I realized that, you know, in all areas of my life except for my business, I'm pretty clear and pretty true to my core desires. But when it comes to my business, I just seem to be stuck. Do you have any advice?
I do. Two things I would have you go look at. Number one, how bad do you really want that business? I have talked to women, and I'm not saying this applies to you, but take a look at your heart. I've talked to women who are married. Are you married?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've talked to women who are married, and the bottom core desire for them is they don't want to really be working, but they have to. They wish their husband would take care of the finances so they could do whatever they wanted to do, be with the grandkids, be with the kids, I don't know. And so they took it on because it was a have to, not a want to. If you fall in that category, you need to find another way to make your life happy without having to spend your time on money. Now, the other thing is, I'm talking about direction now.
Can I
reason,
ask you a question about that, Jack?
Yes.
So, I mean, that would definitely fit for me.
Bullseye.
So bullseye. What I want to say, though, is that, you know, that I need to be the breadwinner has been – it's just been a reality, so I have struggled greatly with that.
Well, here's the reality also for that, and this is the truth. If you have to be the breadwinner because he cannot or will not work, that's another issue. That's a marital issue you need to deal with. But if he cannot work because of illness, et cetera, another issue. Here's a core desire for you. You like to eat. And you like to have a roof over your head and drive a car.
Yeah.
So if you didn't work in a job or in a career path, a business, you wouldn't have those things. So your core desire is not your business, but it's to pay the bills. And the business is a have-to to get to the want-to. We all have have-tos to get to want-tos. And if you look at your have-to, like lifting weights to get in shape, that's not the most pleasant thing to do. Running a lot to get in shape or running a business, you don't really love it, but you do love the fact that you can pay your bills. So the only thing left now is figure out how to do that business in such a way so it creates more income, which will give you more freedom and hopefully a lot of income so that you can quit working so darn hard and still have your food and mortgage and all your bills covered and then some. Work smarter, not harder kind of thing. I have no idea what your business is, of course, but there are ways to work businesses that are better than others.
Sure.
What is your business?
I do leadership development.
Okay. Then you're a lot like me. You're a one-woman show. I'm a one-man show.
Okay.
And if you don't show up and do what you do, you don't get paid. Well, that's the same way it is as real estate. That's real estate agents and insurance agents and a lot of people. And there's good, better, and best ways to do that. Find out other people like me. Call me afterwards. I gave you my number. Call me, and I'll tell you how you can do that without having to be the only guy or the only woman on stage making money. If I work and get paid, I mean, if I speak, I get paid a lot of money, $20,000 for an hour or less time. That's great. Well, what if I don't speak for a month? I know I'll get paid. So I had to have other sources of income that are not directly tied to me showing up and speaking somewhere and doing what I know to do. That's the way doctors are. If they doctors or chiropractors aren't seeing patients, they make no money. And now they get really good at seeing patients, and suddenly they find they have no time at all because they got a patient every 15 minutes. They have no life now, but they do have a lot of money. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, got to learn how to work smarter. I work with medical doctors all the time, show them how to change that.
Well, Jack, we've got some more questions, and I want to remind everybody, if you came in late on the call, because some of your questions pertain to the fact that you didn't get on time, this is being recorded, and you will later this afternoon, probably about 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, an email will go out with the replay, a link in it. And so you can listen to the entire call on the replay line, and you can get the entire formula again. We just got a response from somebody in Sweden that says, Jack, I love this formula. Thank you so very, very much. There's two or three people that are asking, what are those six areas of life that you just shared about physical, financial? Would you repeat those six areas again for everybody, Jack?
Sure. They are financial, family, self-image, that means personal growth, learning, social, everything that has to do with social, that means friends, that means business, that means everything that has to do with anything social, learning, and spiritual. Self-image includes physical. Your physical life. And I don't, that is, by the way, not just getting into shape and being thin or healthy. That's one part of physical. But how about self-image? When you look in the mirror, even though you are physically fit, inside you may not be okay. That's a mental thing. When you look at your hair or your nose, you don't think your nose or your teeth the way you want them to be. I mean, there's all kinds of physical things that have nothing to do with being in shape, being thin, or being able to run 10 miles or lift weights. And by the way, all six areas of life interact with each other in a major way. Your social life will affect your family. Your family life will affect your spiritual. Your spiritual life affects every one of the areas. Your physical life affects all of them too. If you're not feeling very good, you don't do so good in anything. If you think you're, if you do not present a good image to the world will react to you in a certain way. A guy came to me and asked me to help him make his business successful. I said, do you mind if I be bold and blunt? And he said, please, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He was probably 45, 50 years old. I said, okay, in the business you're in, do you see anybody who is highly successful at it that looks like you? And there were four of them in that room, including me. And he said, no. I said, okay, then I want you to go home now, and I want you to go cut your hair. Find a barber, get your hair cut. He had a 2-foot-long ponytail. And then I said, I also want you to take the 4 earrings out of your left ear and shave. He had a very unkempt beard. His mustache covered his mouth. I said, shave. Cut your hair. Get the 4 earrings out of your ear. And dress like they do. You know, dress nice. Don't dress like in bib overalls. The world will treat you differently. Then I saw him the next day. That was a Friday night. The next day he comes in. Nobody even recognized the guy. He comes in and he looked just like everybody else in the room wanted him to. I mean, everybody else in the room that was successful. And his business went from low to no income to several thousand dollars a month just because of his image and how he presented himself to the world. People reacted to him differently, and his ability to speak was the same. He just looked different, so they didn't judge a book by its cover anymore. Sadly, that does happen. So we must make our cover look decent. And I'm not an image consultant. I'm not talking about colors and hairstyles and things like that, but that was an extreme.
Well, Jack, right now, I want to express my personal appreciation for you taking the time to come on board with us for our Success Now program and the impact and influence that you've had in my life and now in the lives of these individuals with the Healing Codes and now with the Success Now program and the Success Codes. You will be making a difference in not only the people that are participating in this, but they can then transfer the information that they've learned to somebody else. Let me give that URL one more time, the website one more time. It is DNA, like dog, Nancy, Apple, DNAdollars.com. When you go there, you'll find a form, and you put your information in the form and tell them that it's from the Success Now program, and then Jack will be able to follow up with you, and you'll be able to get the incredible discount that he has so generously provided to be able to get his book and his other resources as well. Jack, any last comments before we wrap it up?
Let's give him my phone number again as well, just in case they want to call and just get it now. It's at 303-741-9025. 303-741-9025. And in answer to your final question, it is this. Ladies and gentlemen, focus on your core desires, for that is the foundational place for all other things to happen. Then follow the formula that I just shared with you. Seek out clear direction from people who are qualified to teach. That's proper action. And then do that proper action like they tell you to do until you get what you want. Persist until it's done. And you will achieve peace, harmony, financial independence, whatever it is that matters to you. This formula never fails. Apply it in any area that matters to you, core desires, and you will reach a high level of success. That's a fact.
And Jack does live in the Denver, Colorado area, and so he's on Mountain Standard Time. But I've unmuted everybody. Why don't we all say goodbye as we sign off and thank Jack for this afternoon.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jack. You're welcome.
Great.
Jack, thank you very much.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.